guess we should move on to the main event for the day, huh?
Yeah. Alright, well, Friday is the big day of the 2011 NHL entry draft. Alright, well, first, I guess we'll start off, well, we're going to separate this a little bit to the projections of the top five.
Well, do you want to do who you want the most, and then we'll do, like, the mock draft?
Yeah, you know what, let's do that. Alright, as if anybody, I'm sure you're all reading the blog, knows that I want Dougie Hamilton the most. I think he fills the biggest need in the organization, which is a big, bulking D-man. He's 6'4 and a half. I think he's getting close to 200 pounds or so now, and he definitely will be at one point. He's not really known for his, you know, Scott Stevens-style bone-crushing hits, but I don't want that. Especially in today's NHL, where headshots are so outlawed, that might not go over so well. So he's known to level out forwards along the boards and trap them into the boards, get the puck away from them. He's known for his puck handling skills. He scored something like 58 or 60 points last year, so he's got an offensive upside. He's got a very powerful shot. He's got great hockey sense, and, you know, he might not be the perfect defenseman, but the stuff that he needs to work on will be learned, and defense can be learned. You know, offense is something that certainly comes naturally, but defense can be learned and improved upon. I really feel that Dougie Hamilton would be the perfect fit. I could see him slotted in. You know, he'll probably spend another year in juniors and even possibly a year in the AHL, but I think he's got the body to make it right now. He would fit great on the second line. You could have Strait and Hamannik on the first line, and then Hamannik and Hamilton on the second line, and then Jussina and Eaton on the last D line. So that would be a pretty good D core. I mean, especially as, like I said, Hamannik gets older, Hamannik gets older, and Strait will be back fully healthy, hopefully. So I think Hamilton would be the best choice. Another choice I would be completely happy with is Sean Couturier. I love what I've seen of this kid. He's been nitpicked to death, and that really bothers me. He was projected to go number one until Nugent Hopkins had this really fantastic year. I think he would fit outstandingly on the Islanders. He's known for his extreme hockey sense and his puck handling skills and playmaking ability. To put him on the second line between Okposo or Niederreiter and Grabner would be a very powerful second line, and it would take some of the defensive pressure off of John Tavares, because we would have two equal first and second lines, much like the Penguins do with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. So, I would love Sean Couturier on the Islanders. I don't know if he's going to be available at five. I feel like New Jersey might go for him. He would be a good second line center for them. Look at what Grabner did with Franz Nielsen. Not to put down Nielsen, he's very competent offensively. He had a really great year this year. But the thought of Couturier centering Grabner and feeding him all those breakaway passes is just, that's beautiful. That's something that, you know, it's hard to resist. So my number one right now would be Hamilton. My very close number two would be Couturier. I also wouldn't have a problem with Murphy, who's pretty much the most offensively gifted player in this draft. Wouldn't have a problem with Strome. The only player I probably would have a problem with is Landeskog. He pretty much fills the same role that Niederreiter is, you know, supposed to fill, and that Okposo already, you know, fills. Great leadership material, very strong along the boards, he's very NHL-ready, according to his coach in juniors right now. But I just feel that he's very redundant. So, I mean, I'm not going to hate him if he gets drafted, much like a lot of people did when Bailey got drafted, which is really unfortunate, but I don't think he's the right choice for the Islanders. And I don't even think he's going to be available at five anyways. I think he might go to either Florida or the Devils as well. So, who are you hoping for?
Okay, well, it's actually kind of funny because I know you touched upon Murphy, and Murphy is probably the biggest home run kind of guy in the draft. But I don't know. No, I wouldn't have a problem with him, but I don't think he's my favorite. If I had to pick a top five, because this is going to be all over the map, excluding Nugent Hopkins, and I guess I'll exclude Larson because chances of them making it down to five are not high. My number one would probably be Dougie Hamilton, because I do think that his potential is completely unmatched to any other defenseman in the draft other than Larson, and for all the reasons you touched on. My number two would be Couturier, for, again, the same reasons that you talked upon. The only issue I have with Couturier was that his biggest weakness, they said, was his compete effort, which is a pretty big thing. But that's something. He's 18. He's impressionable. He comes into a culture where it's all about accountability. That's something that can be corrected. They say he's kind of like a hybrid between Eric Staal and Jordan Staal. I mean, who wouldn't want to have that? My number three would be Landis Cogge, actually. And I'm not a huge fan of taking wings like that early. I know we did last year with Niederreiter because, in my opinion, you build from, you know, down the middle with centers, defenseman, goalie. But Landis Cogge is really like the total package. And I know he would be, in a way, redundant because of Niederreiter and Oposo. But I don't think you could really ever have enough of those guys in your top six. And putting, in theory, for 10, 15 years down the road, when Molson becomes, you know, when he leaves in 5 or so years or whatever, you have Grabner, Oposo, Niederreiter, and Landis Cogge, and that's a top six, that's a top four wings that you could really build around. My fourth choice would probably be Ryan Strome because, well, his speed is outstanding and his stick work is outstanding. I don't think he's a case like Josh Bailey, which I know a lot of people are freaking out about because this guy kind of just like jumped on the map out of nowhere with like a, he had like a 90 point season compared to, I forget how many last year, but
I think it was 36.
Yeah. So I like him because the line with him and Grabner, and you put away, put Niederreiter in that left wing. I mean, forget it. No one's catching that line. Niederreiter's not extremely fast, but he's not slow, and he won't be slow when he gets his, you know, when he does all his power skating. I mean, that line would be scary fast and very skilled. And my fifth choice would probably be, I guess since I didn't include him, would probably be Huberdeau. I'm not as high on Huberdeau as a lot of other people. I do think he's going to be a surefire second line center. But he's not like terribly fast. He's got incredible offensive instincts without question. But playing in the Quebec League is always kind of a red flag for me, because a lot of guys that come out, it's very different styled league. But again, anyone that they pick in the top 8 or 9 is going to be someone worth having, and it's going to be someone that I think will really make an impact in more of a complementary role. But at least at forward with defense, I mean, they're instantly going to become the top defensive prospect if it's Murphy or Hamilton. But trading down to get, like, Sven Barchi or Jamie Oleksiak, I mean, no. Just no. Not at 5.
Yeah, Jamie Oleksiak would be a certainly not a 5. I mean, but even at, like, 9 or 10, you go for Barchi at that point. You don't go for Oleksiak. I think Oleksiak is actually going to fall to the late first round anyways. But I think they're actually probably going to go for, if they don't go for a defenseman, I think they're going to go for a left wing, which kind of leads me to believe that they're either going to go for Barchi or Landis Cogge if he's available. So, I mean, look at our left wing right now. We have Olsen, Como, and Suen Martin. That's not exactly, I mean, besides the first player, I mean, Como's arguable, but, you know, there needs to be some depth on left wing. So I think that they're going to go with either Landis Cogge or Barchi. I hope and pray that they go for Hamilton because I feel he's the most important, but, you know, I won't be, like I said, I won't be upset with anybody that they draft. We have a lot of clearing holes in this organization, except for goalie, magically. Whoever they draft, I'll be completely happy with.
I think that they should go defenseman because you saw in this last playoffs, I think more than ever before, we talk about this like more than ever before every year, but I think this year, more than ever before, these two teams, Vancouver and Boston, they got to the Stanley Cup Finals by playing outstanding defense. And yes, that kind of got away from Vancouver towards the later stages of the Cup Final. But the first couple games, and even Game 5 and Game 6, were very defensive-oriented games. And that's what you need. So when you think about it, and you got McDonald and Hamonic and Calvin DeHaan and this guy, and to a lesser extent, Matt Donovan, I mean, you're set up very nicely. And the thing about this draft is that no one really touched on. Everyone's like, oh, it's a weak draft. I wouldn't call it a weak draft. It's not top heavy, but that doesn't make it weak. From the second round to like middle of the third round, very good depth and plenty of NHLers in there. And the Islanders have 2 second round picks. They have pick 34 and pick 50. So really, if they pick a defenseman in the first round, there's plenty of forwards there in the second round. If they pick a forward in the first round, there's going to be plenty of defensemen in the second round. So, but I have to admit, I know I'm kind of backtracking because I said the opposite, but if the Islanders can make a play to get back in the middle of the late first round, I think they have to do it because there's a lot of defensemen and forwards in that range I think would be absolutely perfect for this team.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's Scott Mayfield, another big defenseman who, I mean, he definitely needs time to work on his material, but he'd be a great addition to the decor. There's Musil would be another good one. Jurko's good, and Jurko's known for his extreme stick handling skills. If you want to know, just look it up on YouTube and you'll be incredibly impressed. So, yeah, I think the best choice for the Islanders would be draft Hamilton at five, and then trade up and then draft someone like there's Rocco Grimaldi, there's Joel Armia, who's slipped a lot in the past couple of days, actually. There's Nicklas Jensen, Ty Ratty. There's a lot of people who can be picked in the late first round, so I think they should definitely try to go for the doubleheader here. Thing is, I don't really know what it would take besides the second round picks to get that. I don't know how many teams are exactly willing. So hopefully, I mean, we do have expendable pieces. I just don't want to see them trading Como for another first round pick.
Well, I wouldn't trade Como for a first round pick, but I would trade Bailey for a first round. It's gonna take more than Josh Bailey and a second round pick to get into the first round. But if they were to dangle a young player, you know, he would be the guy, and there's plenty of selling points to Josh Bailey because the teams will look at him and be like, well, he only had 28 points or whatever last year. But the Islanders would be like, well, he's 21 years old. Like, he's still very young, but if the Islanders want to take the next step, they're going to have to improve in that area, especially of the second or third line center, depending on how you place him in Nielsen. The guys that I like Tyrod. He played for Portland, right? With Ivar Yeager.
Yeah.
I like him because we talked about this with Archie a couple weeks ago. We didn't touch on Ty Ratty. He's another player that they probably scouted a lot because they scouted Niederreiter a lot. And Joe Morrow is the defenseman that I really like. And did he play for Portland too? Or
let's see. I'm not sure.
But I really like what I read about him. So getting, you know, back into the first round.
Yes, he did play for Portland.
Right, okay, so he's another one that they scouted a lot. So I don't want to say that they will, but they're obviously very familiar with these two players, and they're both kind of slated to go in the mid to late first round, early second round kind of range. I would not be surprised to see them trade 34 and, you know, 50 and whatever they have to get back in to choose one of them. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know how things are going to develop on the floor this year. It's very hard to say. Because, I mean, this draft is all over the place. Like we said, it's not top-heavy, so it could really go in 1,000 different directions, especially in the first round.
Yeah. All right, well, we've got a couple wild cards going on right now. I mean, this draft has been such a crapshoot so far. We have Zibanejad, who, honestly, before this year, most people hadn't even heard of him. He was slotted around, like, mid-first round, I guess halfway through the year. Now he's ranked up in the top 10. There's some mock drafts I've read which show him even going in the top 3 or 4. So, he's good. He's a good, solid two-way defender. He's big for his age. He's 6'1", 183. He played for Sweden. He played very well for Sweden.
Djurgården, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. He played very well for them, and he would get more time this coming year. Obviously, he'd be sent back there, he'd be an interesting choice for the Islanders. I feel like if they're going to go with a two-way center, I think that they should go with Couturier. He's got more playmaking abilities from what I've seen of both of them, and I think he would just be a better fit for the Islanders. And then, of course, there's Ryan Murphy. I think Ryan Murphy could go anywhere from even 2 to, like, 10, because he's such he's a defenseman, but his defense is so questioned and so nitpicked, and rightfully so. He has made strides this year. I think he's the player who's pretty much guaranteed to become a star in this league. It's just, I think a lot of teams right now, with this draft being a crapshoot, aren't necessarily drafting for best player available. I think there a lot of teams are drafting for what fills their need. So, I mean, you never know. I'm reading one draft mock draft right now. It says he's going to go at 9 to Boston, which would, I think Cabrera is a free agent, right?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, so if having him as a replacement for Cabrera would be pretty good for, the defending champs. But, I don't know. Where do you see these guys going?
Okay, I'll start with Murphy, because we just touched on him. I kind of see Murphy going to New Jersey. I don't know if I would pick that when we do the mock draft, but I do see it as a definite possibility, because New Jersey is in a situation where, almost like Philadelphia was a year ago, where they kind of, in my opinion, just kind of had an off year. And they have, their prospect pool isn't great, but they have a little bit of leeway here. And I think they might go with someone like Murphy because they kind of see shades of Scott Niedermeyer in him. The thing about Murphy is he could end up being anyone from Mike Green, who's all offense and negative defense, to someone like Niedermeyer, who just becomes a complete two-way player at every step of the way kind of player. I could see that. I don't think the Islanders are going to take Murphy, because I feel like they already have their puck-moving defenseman in Calvin DeHaan, and to a lesser extent, Andrew McDonald. As far as Zibanejad, he's another one. I don't know if he's going to go as high as 3 or 4, although I guess I wouldn't be totally shocked if the Devils have such a huge pick, because no matter, like, whatever direction they go in, it's going to completely change the course of the rest of at least the top 10, if not more. So I could see him going there. I guess I could see him, the Islanders, picking him. I wouldn't be terribly surprised. He kind of fits the mold of their kind of player. But realistically, I kind of see him going in the later portion of the top 10. Could be Winnipeg. It could be Columbus. But it's important to remember that this, like we said, this draft isn't very top-heavy, so I think you're only going to see maybe 3 players tops in the NHL next year. So whoever the Islanders pick, I think this team is not set, but I think they're looking for a more veteran presence if they were to make additions to their roster, especially since Niederreiter is not confirmed, but very likely to make it. So whoever they pick, I don't see with the team immediately, unless a guy like Larson or Landeskog falls to them.
All right, so let's see how we see this. We're going to kind of elaborate on how we see this draft going out. Is that good?